Brother Dave Anderson is going to come now and offer a song for the Lord just before Pastor Cody preaches tonight.
I have a precious book. It's the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. As I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful Word of God. Forever it will stand as the ages roll. It's the living and eternal Word. It's my guiding light each day, and without it I would stray. The wonderful Word of God. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am, mine to tell of joys to come, and the rebel sinner's doom. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Dear Lord, may I each day read thy precious word. May I love it and obey it too. May I grow to be like thee. May my friends sing Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm sure I'm probably not the only one to say this, but I think the special music today has been more preaching than the preaching has been today. Had you hear that song, singing about the Word of God, and that was some good message. Of course, this morning, as Delbert and Joe were singing about our lives that would represent Jesus Christ, and I mean, I don't know, let's give an invitation right now and go home. I think that's the most instruction we could do. Not to put you on the spot too much, Brother Anderson, but yesterday in our little talk, we talked about the Rechabites. You said you read that in your scripture yesterday, right? You're in your Bible every day learning something, correct? Try to be. And how old are you? 68 years old, okay. Been reading his Bible probably every day for many, many years, correct? And you say you still find some things in there that are there to teach you and some gems, correct? Isn't the Bible, the Word of God, a wonderful book? Amen. I mean, listen, reading his Bible, studying it, and yesterday talked about the Rechabites. How many of you guys know about the Rechabites in the Bible? It's a passage there in the book of Jeremiah. It's a fairly, amazing story to think about. Here's a family of folks that their family or fathers told them not to drink alcohol, said to live in tents, and you weren't supposed to be farmers. You're just supposed to simply live off the land. And for generation after generation after generation, the Rechabites follow the teachings that were laid set before them of their fathers. And the Bible story tells us that Jeremiah brought them into the temple and said, hey, look, here's a family that has no spiritual emphasis. There's no spiritual reason they're doing these things. They were just simply taught by their fathers, who taught their fathers, who taught their sons, who taught their sons not to do things, and they followed it. And God said that he would bless the Rechabites for that. And he looked at the Jewish people and said, yeah, here you are. Here you are. You don't do what I tell you to do. And you have a reason for it, and there's a blessing for it. And you continually fail and falter. And as we were talking about yesterday, just talk about the instruction that parents have to teach their children. And I just was thinking about that, how important it is. It's not my job, folks. It's not my job to teach your children the Scriptures. It's part of my job. It's something that I do, but it's not my responsibility for me to teach children the Scriptures. It's not pastor's job to simply be the one that teaches you, instructs you. That is your job. That is your part to get into the Scriptures. When you come to a place where you don't have understanding, that's when you maybe come to pastor. But, you know, listen, pastor and I don't know everything either. There's still things we're learning and we're growing in our walk with God. And that's where we study and learn the Scriptures and we pass it down to our children. David was saying, I think it was you or Delbert that said, I think it was Delbert who said his granddaughter called him and said, hey, I've been challenged to read through the book of John this month. Would you read for me through me? And he said that just thrilled his heart to death, knowing that now my granddaughter is in challenging me to get in the Scriptures every day. And knowing that he taught his children who have taught their children and instructed them the Word of God. And folks, if you're a parent today, listen, there's no greater thing you can instruct your children on than the Word of God every day. Amen? That should be some amen. If you are a parent, you have children in your household, nothing is more important for them to understand the teachings of the Word of God. Hey, and not just the teachings, but why? Why do we obey the Bible, Mom and Dad? What is the point? They were talking about yesterday how the Edwards is and others have gone to the Ark exhibit. Apparently, one of the exhibits there in the Ark encounter is a pictures of all these fairy tales of Noah's Ark, and how most people would present the fairy tale that Noah's Ark was a fairy tale. And they said sometimes even in junior church and in Sunday school, teachers can present these stories as just little fun stories, that just like Jack and the Beanstalk and other stories, and say, no, this is the Scriptures. This is the Word of God. Last night when we were doing Bible story with our kids, I stopped and I said, listen, Micah, you know the story you're watching is not real, right? You know Santa Claus is fake. Sorry, that hope doesn't break anybody's bubble. Sorry. Gabe, I'm sorry. Did you know that? I'm sorry, Gabe. Just turn your ears off the rest of the story. You know, these stories, they're fake, but the Bible is real. And, instructing him and telling him this really happened. And this really is a blessing that will happen in our lives. And so I'm preaching three sermons tonight. Sorry, this, number one, this is free. But listen, parents instruct. And listen, if you're a grandparent, as David and Delbert and others once said there, listen, I'm still not. You were the one that said you called your children up, right? And you guys are reading through the Scriptures on a regular basis. And you guys are calling them and talking to each other about the things you're learning. He's a parent. Kids are not at home anymore, but he says, hey, look, I'm your dad. All right, you do this, okay? And listen, I want to help you and encourage you. And he's still having encouragement in his family, instructing and teaching the Word of God on a regular basis. And I'm sorry, but I think that's just wonderful. And I wish I had that at my home. I wish in my home growing up, my mom, my dad were still together, and they found it important to teach us the principles of the Word of God, how different a person I would have been. You know, I would have avoided some of those sins, some of those wrong things that were in my life if I had parents who had simply said, more important than baseball, more important than video games, more important than going and doing things with your friends, is that we gather around the Word of God and make sure this is important. And I promise you, you would put that into your children's lives. It will profit you for many, many years to come. And so, that's sermon number one. Yes, I did say I'm preaching two more sermons, so... had my outline done yesterday, and I got finished with this outline. I said, I don't like it. I don't know what it is. I felt this is what the Lord wanted me to preach, and so I prepared the outline, got it ready, and I said, I wanted to do something different. And so the Lord kind of laid on my heart this afternoon what direction I wanted to go, and I said, you know, actually, I can combine the two sermons into one sermon. So tonight, you're going to get my outline very quickly on the seven secrets of sufficient sleep. The seven secrets of sufficient sleep. Pastor Cody, you're going to teach us about sleeping. Okay, yes, so I'll preach about sleeping. So then the next 10 minutes when I'm preaching the other sermon, you can implement those seven steps, okay? So the seven secrets, and you implement them, you know, anyway. But listen, hey, sleep is something we struggle with. Me personally, I don't, okay? I hit that when we were at camp 2 weeks ago. The guys are like, well, how are the guys in your dorm? Are they rambunctious after dark? I said, I don't know. Aren't the beds uncomfortable? I don't know. I'm asleep. That's where I'm at. I am sleeping. My head hits the pillow, especially after a long day at camp. You know, I'm going to sleep. But listen, many people struggle with sleeping. And why is that a spiritual issue? Well, listen, if you're not resting, if you're not getting the sleep you need, you can't serve God like you're supposed to. Listen, there are some people who are not able to come to church because they're not able to sleep at night. There are some people who aren't able to work their job they're supposed to do because they're not getting a sleep at night. There are some parents who, well, my excuse is my kids wake me up, but, you know, there are some parents whose kids aren't waking them up, but they're not able to be the parent they need to be because they're not able to sleep. And numerous times I've seen this on Facebook, I've seen, had conversations with people who said, man, I just have a hard time sleeping. And folks, I want you to know that God ordained rest. Amen? God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? Arrested. Why does God have a day and a night? The nighttime is for us to rest. God ordained the nighttime for us to go to bed, to shut our eyes. It's dark. You know, back in the Bible days, they didn't have streetlights everywhere. They didn't have all these lights. Listen, at nighttime, you know, you had a little flame in your house, but after that, if you put that out, it was pitch black. You know, you were able to get that sleep in those days. And listen, God wants us to get rest. But you understand, God wants us to get sufficient rest, okay? Some people would say that sleep is their God. And so that they would say, man, I love to sleep. I sleep from this time to this time. I get 12, 13 hours of sleep. Whoa. There is rest, and then there is a little bit of an abundance of rest. And so I know studies say that we're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep a day, right? That's what researchers have said, and that, you know, 8 hours of sleep is what you need. And I think they'll come up with more research that says, oh, the more rest you get, the better your life is going to be. So go ahead and sleep for 10 hours. And people will take that as for 10 and make sure they get 10 hours of sleep. And I think that's important. But I want you to understand something, that there is sufficient sleep, and everybody's made differently. Okay, and for me personally, 6 hours of sleep is what I need. I go to bed at 11 o'clock, try my best to go to bed at 11, 11:30, and alarm goes off at 5:30, and I try and get my best to get up and get going, and I try to have that habit, and that's something that helps me in my walk with God. Because if I were to say, well, I need 8 hours of sleep, guess what? There's nights that I'm up till 10, 11 o'clock ministering or doing other things with my family. And if I said, I need 8 hours of sleep, guess what would get cut out in the morning? My devotions. Well, you could just fit that in some other time. Not when you got three kids, you can't. No, my only time I have to read my scriptures is if I wake up, I set my alarm clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, I get up, I get in the scriptures, I pray, I read my Bible. Why? Because, listen, that's important to me. Sleep is needful, and sleep is something that God has ordained and wants us to have, but he wants us to have sufficient sleep. Folks, I just want to encourage you folks tonight with some tips, some secrets on how you in your life can get some good sleep. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, but ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, but that ye should be overtaken as a Sorry. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. What the scripture here is saying says, listen, hey, let's, of course, it's talking a little bit of spiritualness here, but it says, listen, hey, get your sleep while the time is there. But understand, when the day comes, there's some work to do. Jesus is trying to encourage us. The author here is trying to encourage us to say, listen, there's a time for sleep. There's a time to get up. There's a day coming when you won't be able to sleep anymore. There'll be a day coming when you'll be in heaven. And he's trying to encourage you to say, listen, sleep, get your rest. The night, the darkness is time for you to sleep. But I think this is the first one of the first points that I'm going to talk about tonight is obliterating obstacles. Obliterating obvious obstacles. Listen, so many times people get to nighttime, and that's when they begin to put activities in their life to hinder their sleep. And because they're up till 10, 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, doing whatever they're doing, come time for them to wake up and do their devotions, guess what? They're too tired. Come time for them to get up and go to work. Come time for them to get up and go to church. They're not able to. And folks, listen, God ordained, and I know this is scripture, and I have, you know, I know, listen, if you have to, I had to work overnight, okay? There's people that have to work overnight. But there is a time to rest, and there is a time to get up and do what you're supposed to do. And folks, listen, in your life, if there are things that are keeping you up at night that you have put in your life, you know, that you have added, listen, that is something that's going to hinder your ability to serve God. God is not pleased, well, I have time at night. Well, listen, if you're sleeping in, and that's your time you're supposed to be spending in the Word of God, listen, that thing at night that you're doing, whatever it may be, watching TV, playing games, talking on the phones, you know, scrolling Facebook, that is distracting you from living for God. Listen, the number one point I can tell you tonight about how to have a restful night's sleep is this: obliterate obvious things that are obstacles keeping you from getting a good night's sleep. Go to bed. My wife doesn't have a hard time with this, okay? She sleeps no matter what. Come 10:30 o'clock, 10:30, she's asleep. Me, on the other hand, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I could stay up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And not a problem, but you know what? I'd feel it. My alarm went off at 6 o'clock, I would feel that. Some of you understand in your lives that, listen, obliterate those things. You know, how many of you guys feel when something bad happens to somebody, you know, how many of you feel bad for that person? Something bad happens to someone, it's hard. How many of you, when something bad happens to somebody, but you know the reason it happened to them was their fault? How many of you guys have a little bit of a hard time having compassion on them? You know, hey, someone was speeding, going 80 miles an hour, and they spin out in their car, get in an accident. While they were speeding, they were driving recklessly, okay? You know, some of you guys may not have the heart like I do, but maybe you see somebody going 90 miles an hour, get pulled over by the cops. You know, your mercy kind of goes out for them. Well, they knew they were breaking the law. But listen, same thing about sleep. I feel very little patience for teenagers or for anybody who would say, oh, I'm so tired. Why are you tired? Well, I was up doing all kinds of things last night. Why? Get some sleep. Get to bed. And folks, I just encourage you, if your obstacles at night are keeping you from getting rest, which then keep you from getting up early and getting in your Word of God and getting in prayer, obliterate it. Get rid of it. The second step I want to talk to you very quickly is repairing rotten relationships. Repairing rotten relationships. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Listen, so many times at night we're laying awake worrying about some of the relationships that are rotten that need to be repaired. Folks, listen, this is a scriptural principle that tells us before you go to sleep at night, make sure there's not aught between you and anybody. Make sure that in the morning comes, there is nobody that is looking to wish harm upon you. Listen, we should not have enemies. Yes, there are going to be people who may not like us because we're Christians, but you know, there should be nobody out there that you have so ought with them that they can't pray for you, that they don't want to wish well on you. Folks, listen, in our lives, we ought to be peacemakers, we talked about last week. And one of the things about being a peacemaker is going to someone that you have offended or has offended you and repairing that relationship immediately. Immediately. Don't let the sun go down in your life. Listen, for most of the time, this is where the problem is. Husbands and wives. Husbands and wives. So many times they're at night chatting, and all of a sudden something comes up and it blows up. And she goes one way and he goes the other. And they go to sleep that night, and listen, many of them will lie awake at night just grinding on that. Grinding on how that's bothering them. Listen, that's taking away your sleep. Well, how do we resolve that? Well, husband, you know those words. I'm sorry I was wrong. Forgive me. What if I'm not wrong? Listen, it's not worth losing a night's sleep over. Go to her and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me, all right? And then wife, it's your responsibility to say, no, I was wrong, please forgive me. And then you hug and you make up and you go to bed. Listen, hey, repair rotten relationships. Don't let the sun go down upon you. Hey, listen, parents and children, especially when they start getting a little older, right? They start wanting to do their own. They start having a little bit of mind of their own. And, you know, hey, you're grounded. Get in your room. I remember distinctly my dad sitting in my room one night. And he was mad as a hornet's nest at me. And I was mad at him too. I remember how rough that night's sleep was. He was still mad at me in the morning. But, man, I sure wish that we would have been able to repair that before we went to bed. Listen, parents, do not let your sleep pass because of relationship with your children. Mend that. Make sure they know you love them before they go to sleep and know that everything is okay. And folks, listen, in your life, if something happens in your daytime where you have had someone offend you or you have been offended by somebody, don't go to bed at night worrying about that, stressing about that. That is not needful. That is not spiritual. That is not scriptural. Call them on the phone. Send them a text message. Go to their house. This is what the scripture says. Hey, I just want you to know, we got to get this settled, taken care of. Well, that's just awkward. That's just not right. Listen, hey, it'll help you at night. It'll sure help you, especially when you're laying awake just worrying about the situation. It's out of your hand. There's nothing more you can do. Listen, number one, obliterate obvious obstacles. Number two, repair rotten relationships. Number three, lay off the laziness by laboring. Ecclesiastes 5:12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Folks, maybe one of the reasons you're having a hard time sleeping is because you're being a little lazy. Okay, I know as you get a little older, you know, you're able, you're retired too. But listen, the Lord has given you a daytime to get some work done. Okay, there's always some work to be done. Amen. And sometimes we can't sleep at night because we're not tired because we did nothing. And listen, if that's the case, go get to work the next day. Go do something hard. Go do some laboring, something so that you can feel like, man, I have accomplished something today. Listen, as Christian, there's always work to do. Amen. As a Christian, there's always someone who needs the gospel. As a Christian, there's always a street that needs to be knocked on, tell someone about Jesus. As a Christian, there's always some Bible reading or some Bible study or something we can do to draw closer to God. There should never be a day that goes by where you say, what do I have to do? Man, there's nothing on my calendar. Listen, find something to do to get busy in. And listen, hey, find something, especially as you're retired or maybe looking for work, that is profitable for God. Listen, don't be lazy. Some of the times we can't get rest is because we don't do anything. And if we're not doing anything, listen, we're not productive. We're not doing anything that's allowing us to get tired. As I said, when I was working all day at camp, I had no problem sleeping. Why? Because I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go, 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 till 11 o'clock at night. I want to sleep. I was busy. Folks, find something in your life that you could be laboring away and get off the laziness. Number four, end the habit of entertaining your emotions. Ending the habit of entertaining your emotions. You're laying awake, you're laying in bed at night, and all of a sudden your emotions start to take over. The stress, the worry, the fear, the doubt. All these things begin to run over you. Listen, when fear and doubt and stress begin to come into your heart, into your life, where's that coming from? Is fear of God, yes or no? Fears of the devil. Is worry of God, yes or no? No. If we're trusting in God, are we going to worry? Is stress of God? Is stress of God? Listen, does God want us to walk around stressed? Do you ever think Jesus got stressed? Do you ever think Jesus did? How is it do you think Jesus, did Jesus have the, should Jesus have been stressed? Would Jesus have an excuse to be stressed, yes or no? Absolutely. I mean, people were coming at him left and right, attacking him, calling him names. Listen, people called that said that he was of the devil. People were constantly wanting stuff from him. Anybody in the world had an excuse to be stressed out. If anybody in the world had an ability to lay at night and just worry about things, was Jesus Christ. But you know what? I don't think Jesus suffered with stress. I don't think Jesus let his emotions control him. Folks, listen, if you lay awake at night and you let your emotions begin to distract you, listen, that's not of God, that's of the devil. And that's something you've got to get control of. Worry and stress and doubt and fear, if those things that are bothering or taking away your sleep, get that taken care of. Trust in God. Listen, don't stress. Who's in control? Are you in control? We like to think so, don't we? Well, this is just going to fall apart if I don't take care, if I don't handle this now. Listen, God is in control. He's going to take care of it. Trust him. Put it in his hands and just go to sleep. God is in your hands. You got to take care of this. I can't do anything more. I've done it. Listen, you've done the best you can. That's all God asks. Give it to him. Let him handle it. So number one, obliterate obvious obstacles. Two, repair rotten relationships. Number three, lay off the laziness by laboring. Number four, end the habit of entertaining your emotions. Number five, chase away thoughts of covetousness or jealousy. Chase away the thoughts of covetousness or jealousy. Listen, so many times people there are sitting around thinking about how they can scheme and plot and do this and do that. Covetousness or jealousy. What does covetousness mean? If I am covetous of something, this means I am not content, right? The opposite of contentment is covetousness. Okay, say that 10 times fast. Covetousness is covetousness. Meaning I am saying, hey, I'm not content with where I'm at. I wish I had this. Or jealousy. Hey, who in the scriptures, we're going to talk about here at the end, who in the scriptures had a problem with jealousy and kept him from sleeping? King Saul was jealous of David. The Bible says it brought an evil spirit upon him because of what? He was jealous that people were cheering for David rather than cheering for him. Folks, that is carnal and that is fleshly. Covetousness and jealousy, laying awake at night thinking what I don't have, what I wish I had, oh, how I wish things were better. That's not contentment. Listen, get some contentment in your life. Understanding, listen, God is going to take care of you and God has given you what he has given you. And listen, it is good. And be thankful. Be praising God. Hey, listen, if you find yourself worrying and content, listen, get on your knees and start praising God for what you have. Say, God, I'm having a hard time being content right now. Listen, get on your knees and be thankful. Number six is simple this. Pray. Pray. Sometimes God just wants you to pray. Take Samuel, for instance. Samuel, as a boy, was laying and sleeping at night, and God woke him up. God woke Samuel up so that God could talk to Samuel. And Samuel had a conversation with God instead of sleeping that night. And that was much more important, wasn't it? How about Jesus Christ? Did he ever give up a night's sleep to pray and talk to the Father? Listen, if God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, need to spend a night prayer, listen, sometimes it may be beneficial for us to spend an evening, a night, half a night in prayer and talking to God and laying some things at us. Folks, if you have a difficult decision ahead, if some things aren't going well at day, listen, hey, maybe it's time you take an evening, a night to just spend hours and hours in prayer and begging and pleading God for his help. Listen, God answers the prayers of those that live on the night watches in prayer. Listen, sometimes prayer, God doesn't want you to sleep. He wants you to pray. So if you ever find yourself, hey, I'm really struggling to sleep tonight, maybe that's a message from God to say, you need to get on your knees and pray for somebody and ask God to bless her. Maybe that's God saying, I'm not letting you sleep because you need to pray and you need to talk to me tonight. And let's have some talk. Let's have some fellowship. You know how sometimes your wife, husbands will give you that look like, something's not right. We need to talk. And you take some time and say, let's just chat. You know, sometimes God does that too to us. Sometimes God lays on our heart and says, things just aren't right. Maybe I need to spend some time in prayer tonight. Finally, number seven. Pray for pardon and gain purity. Praying for pardon and gaining purity in our life. And that's where I'm going to go into the next 10 minutes. We're going to finish here. We'll be done by 7 o'clock. Praise God. And we'll be home. But listen, We're going to talk about two people tonight, and I was talking about this in my Sunday school class. We're going to talk about two people that, listen, we're sinners, like we all are. Two people. One of these people struggled with sleep. One of these people had a rough life. The other person was a sinner. As a matter of fact, a worse sinner. And yet he had no problem sleeping at night. He rested easily. He had peace with God. Why? Because this person prayed for pardon and gained purity, a clean and pure conscience. So many times, folks, at night, we lay awake because we're guilty. And we're too prideful to admit that we were wrong. And that we need to just get on our knees and ask God to forgive us on a nightly basis. Getting the slate cleaned off every day. God, there's some things I did today I'm ashamed of. God, there's some things I did today that were wrong. And I know it, and you know it, and I'm laying awake here at night knowing that what I need to do is just ask for forgiveness. And I need to get that conscience cleaned off. I need to get the slate wiped clean. And we're going to talk about two men. One man, this was his sin. You probably know who these two people are. One man, his sin was simply disobedience. Disobedience. God told him to do something. He did it 98% of the way. 98% of the way, God said do this. And 98% of the way, he did it. Okay? How many of you would say that's pretty good? Well, it's 2% disobedience, right? Now, honestly, okay, you understand, that's really not that bad, right? I mean, if I asked my 5-year-old son to go do something, and he did it 98% of the way, I would probably give him a high five and say, you did good. You know, you're five, you know. But listen, here's a man who 98% of the job got it done. God said, shame on you. You had 2% disobedience. That's sin. Here's another man, okay? This other man was an adulterer. Went and had an adulterous relationship with another woman. And on top of that, not only did he do that, but the other woman was married. And he sent and said, have her husband killed. And her husband was killed. This man is an adulterer. This man is a murderer. All right? So you have one man who 2% of the way did not obey God. Rough life. God took his hand off this man. Say, that's it. I'm done. Another man, adulterous, a murderer, and God says, I love you, I forgive you. What was the difference? Of course, we're talking about King Saul and King David. Hey, I want to teach you something. Let me see, teenagers know this, but teenagers, you know why I'm saying this. Who was the second king of Israel? Who said it? Ishbosheth, Jason, yes. Ishbosheth, did you know that? Did you know Saul was king of Israel? And then after Saul passed away, did you know that before David was king, that there was a man by the name of Ishbosheth? Ishbosheth was the second king of Israel. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? Some of you do that. Most of you would say that who was the second king of Israel? David. You'd say Saul, and then after Saul was David. But actually, in Israel's history, it went Saul, and then after Saul died, he passed away. His son Ishbosheth was on the throne. Not for very long, but Ishbosheth was on the throne. And you might say, why are you saying Ishbosheth? Because I love that name. Ishbosheth and Mephibosheth. Those have just got to be two great Bible names. And so I've got a Micah, a Josiah, and maybe someday we'll have an Ishbosheth and a Mephibosheth. Just great, great names there. But Ishbosheth was there. And so David and Saul, what was the difference there? So we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here. Listen, we're going to read these two passages of Scriptures. I'm going to say two words about them, and then we'll be done. But listen, we're going to talk about two men, sinned, did wrong, okay? One of them was he just didn't obey all the way, King Saul. The other one was an adulterer and a murderer, okay? And we look at those and we say, man, he's a big sinner, or man, he's just a little sinner. But as we said all along, in God's eyes, sin is sin, okay? And Jesus Christ said, if you look on a brother and have aught against him and want to do him harm, you are a what? Jesus said that if you look at a brother and you have aught against him and you wish him harm in your mind, you are a... He says you're a murderer. Do you get that? Jesus says, looking on someone and saying, I wish harm to that person. He says, in your heart, you're a murderer. Jesus says, if you lust on a woman after your eyes and your heart, you are a adulterer. Listen, Jesus says the thought of sin is just as bad as the act of sin. He says sin is on a level plane. Sin is sin. Okay? And so disobeying God 2% is just as bad as murdering and having an adulterous relationship. But listen, how these folks responded to the sin is what affected their rest and their sleep. And as I said, Saul, who was the one who had just a little sin, we would say, was the one who lost his peace, lost the presence of God, and had a hard time resting. He had to have David come in and begin to play for him. And had to have some things go on in his life that would give him peace because God's presence was not with him. Why? Because he did not get the pardon. Then you have David, who sinned against him. And we're going to read Psalm 51 and the sweet prayer. And as we go through the Psalm 51 tonight, listen, this would be something in your life that you should take and read on a regular basis. And get on your knees. And so before we get to Psalm 51, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, we're going to read this passage of Scripture, and as I said, make a few comments about it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He said, I did what I was told to do. Hey, I'm pretty good. And Samuel said, What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the ox which I hear? And Saul said, Oh, that's no big deal. They've brought them before the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice in the Lord, and the God and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He says, Hey, it's okay, Sam. It's okay. Don't be so hard on me. Man, the people needed some sheep. And hey, and on top of that, we're going to give some to God, so it's okay. Don't worry about my sin. I did what I was supposed to do mostly. And listen, besides that, you know, the people, they just did what they wanted to do. Here's the king who was in charge, who allowed the people to disobey God. He allowed them to do what they wanted to do. And he was just like, no big deal. It's okay. You know, God's not going to really judge me for just these sheep, right? Man, Samuel, we're cool, right? Samuel looks at him and says, Saul, stay, verse 16, I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which they have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice in the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Listen, Saul has been presented with his sin. You are a sinner, Saul. And instead of Saul saying, Oh, I'm sorry, repenting, getting on his knees, Saul is trying to justify his sin. Saul is not repentant. Okay, either Saul was hard-headed or Saul was just stubborn and said, I'm not going to say I did wrong. Verse 21, but the people took, verse 22, and Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold on the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel turned to go the way, and Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that should not repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. We see here this last passage. I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people. You know what? Saul was not worried about his relationship with God. You know what Saul was more worried about? What the people thought about him. He says, Oh, whoa, I may have done wrong, but would you please make sure that people know that I'm still a good guy? I want everybody to know that I'm still a good guy. Samuel, okay, fine, I sinned, I did wrong, but hey, let's just make sure that we're okay. You know, make sure that people know that I'm still a man of God. And Samuel says, you're not repentant. All you're worried about is your image. All you're worried about is how you look. Listen, Saul was a man who was not sorry. Saul was a man who was sorry that he got caught. Saul was a man who was sorry that, hey, something got figured out. Why was Saul rejected for being king? Because he was simply not repentant. He was simply not willing to accept what he was doing was wrong, and it was disgraceful to God, and God was not pleased with him. Do you believe that if Saul had been repentant, and that Saul had simply gone on his knees and prayed and asked God to forgive him and tried to get it right with God, do you believe that God would have forgiven him? Yes or no? Absolutely. But no, Saul did not acknowledge his sin. Saul didn't say he did anything wrong. Saul just simply said, it's not a big deal. It's okay. Listen, his response to sin was, it's not a big deal. It doesn't need to be taken care of. And sure enough, God did what? Turned his back on Saul. Then you have David in 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew together with him, and with his children, and eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup. And it lay in his bosom, and was him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress it. For the wayfaring man was coming to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it, that man was coming to him. And David's anger was kindled greatly against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he hath no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives and thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah, that thou hast been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart out of thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said to Nathan, what did he say? I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Folks, David's heart to his sin was not he was shameful he was found out. David's reaction to his sin was, I have sinned against God, and what I have done was evil, and it was wicked. And you just forgive me. Let's read Psalm 51 together. I think this will be, and we'll be done. This was Psalm chapter 51 is David's prayer to God after this sin. Sweetest prayer, one of the sweetest prayers you'll find in the scriptures. Why did Saul get thrown down for his little sin? Because he refused to accept responsibility. He refused to repent. Why did God forgive David for having an adulterous relationship and for killing a man? Because of Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach the transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good to thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and a whole offering. Then shalt thou offer bullocks upon thine altar. Love that psalm. Sweet, sweet psalm. And folks, we need to look at that on a regular basis. Almost daily, we need to go to God, probably every day, and go to God and say, God, against thee and thee only have I sinned today and done this wickedness in thy sight. Remove this iniquity from me. Pardon me. Forgive it. Remove it far from me. God, don't let me lay awake at night worrying about it. You don't have to. You don't have to feel bad about your sin. Ask to forgive God to forgive you. And don't do it again. Stop it. Knock it off. Go to God and say, Lord, I'm forgive me. I've sinned against you. We're not, there's not right. There's ought between us. Folks, you want a restful night's sleep? Listen, I believe number one thing you ought to do is make sure there's not aught between you and God every night. Go to Him and ask for pardon. Go to Him and get the clean conscience that you need. Be like David. Have a life and a heart and a prayer life like David, where, listen, when you sin, a murderer and an adulteress. Listen, if we saw a murderer and adulteress today walk into our church, the looks on our face would be like, but you know what? If God has forgiven him and he's repented of those sins, just as David was forgiven, he is forgiven. And washed clean, white as snow. Though he was a murderer and adulteress, listen, he had a clean conscience because God had forgiven him. And God will forgive you if you'll ask him. I'm just going to go through these points real quickly. Number one, listen, obliterate obvious obstacles. Repair rotten relationships in your life. Lay off the laziness by laboring. In the habit of entertaining your emotions, don't let the emotions get control of you. Trust God. Chase away your thoughts of covetousness and jealousy. Pray. Just pray. And then finally, as we talked about, pray for pardon. Talk to God and make sure you're right. Listen, 7 secrets to a sufficient night's sleep. And I pray tonight, if you find yourself struggling to sleep, that you will begin to implement some of these things. You'll find a way to get that good night's sleep. I believe God will bless you with it. I believe He will. God wants us to rest. It's part of His plan. All right, it's part of something He wants us to feel rested so we can serve Him with all of our energy. Look at some of these things and ask, how can I get this rest? I believe God will give it to you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Lord, we're so really thankful, Lord, for the ability we have to get rest. Lord, we're so thankful for the rest we're going to have someday in heaven. But Lord, we're not there yet. Lord, we're not there in peace. Lord, there's still some things we're supposed to do. And Father, I pray, Lord God, you'll help these folks tonight to realize to get some rest in their heart. Lord, to get some rest in their lives so they can serve you with all their heart, with all their soul. Lord, we're just going to spend a few minutes, Lord, with the piano playing. And Lord, there wasn't a message tonight to respond to, but I believe as we talked about repentance and pardon, Father, maybe there's someone here tonight that just needs to spend a little bit of time talking to God and asking God to forgive them. Lord, as we pray this, as we begin to play this song, Lord, I pray these folks begin to look in their heart, maybe find some of those things that have ought between you. Now, Lord, maybe it's not a big sin, but God, to you, a little sin is sin. Just as Saul's sin was a big deal to you, God, may they get that right. And help them settle it today. In Jesus' name we pray.